Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
You bet. Hey there, America. Waking up in America. Boy, I woke up to a mandatory evacuation this morning. This is Dr. Val Kirkgaard. I'm here with my amazing partner, Randy Shannon, who never knows what to expect on a Saturday morning from Topanga Canyon. And I never know from Miami. Between the hurricanes and the fires, we keep you guys busy. We're under mandatory evacuation. We've had no electricity in the canyon since yesterday morning at 5:45. There are no hotspots for cell phones. I've got myself a news assignment placard, which I normally manage to bamboozle my way past about everything. They're not bamboozling this morning. They've told me that if I leave the canyon, I can't get back in again, and I know that my my wonderful pets, Mayo and Margo, would very much appreciate me getting back in again, and especially John would, because Margo is his kitty cat. So I'm going back on a kitty cat doggy rescue and pick up stuff. And the funny thing about all this, Randy, is, honest to God, I just got finished with the emergency training class like 2 weeks ago, right?
Okay.
They tell you what to do in case of earthquake and fire, and that you're supposed to have your little plan. Well, I've been sort of putting it kind of together, sort of almost, ever since I took the class, but not fast enough, let me tell you. I do know where my important papers are, so I'm going to grab those. I'm going to grab the important jewelry, all the medications. For Mayo has a combination of things ever since I'd done the Lazarus kit on him, which is probably another program, but I've actually turned around my dog's aging so that he's getting younger and sassier, but it requires a few supplements to pull that off, so I have to put together the Lazarus kit for Mayo. Margo's young and frisky, so all I got to do is get her favorite cat food in a, you know, cat box. Not that they not poop in the car. And,
Lord.
You know, what can I say? They recommend, I probably should tell you what's recommended in the case of an evacuation. I mean, it'd be a good thing. You're supposed to have a little carrying case. With all your necessary stuff in it, you know, whatever
you
your
don't
medications
have that yet.
Are. If you don't have it, get it. Can you hear it? The road's closed. You can hear him saying that in the back. Ha, 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 I'm on the other side.
Yes.
Here comes the Southern California Edison truck. Get the electricity fixed, boys, please. Okay.
Oh, that's another topic for today, too. We got to hit that one.
Yeah, there's no electricity here. Do I go off on the solar company first, or where do I go? Because I'm so
not yet.
Bloody
no,
annoyed
go
about
with that
the solar.
List.
What? Oh, the
go
list.
With the list
okay.
First.
Thank you for the focusing. So it's always good to pack a little overnight carrying case with you. It turns out that one of the things that they have suggested that we have that I don't have yet, but I'll pick up. I understand there's some kind of tubes that you break when you break down on the road to use for emergency. They're not like flares like they used to be. I guess there's like those dance sticks, you know?
Glow sticks. Yeah, glow sticks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What they suggested was is that you get glow sticks.
Okay. Interesting.
And then you
have
some of those
so far.
And if you're staying at home, I mean, a lot of people have generators and stuff like that. Well, not a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that many lights on. But if you're staying home, have all that stuff packed because there's different stages to an emergency. Yesterday it was suggested evacuation, and there were 5 lanes of traffic coming from Malibu on a 6-lane highway led by the police, and I was running around the back hills using my press pass to get into different places. And I'm just like that. I like to know what's going on, which is one of the reasons I became a member of the press. We're not fake news over here. We get right in the middle of it. Randy and I are in the car, in the news type of people. So
I love it.
That's what's happening this morning. It's not a hard thing to do. You want to get your papers in order, birth certificates, important papers, key pieces of jewelry, you know? Make sure that you have little cages or what for your animals. I don't use Mayo in a cage because he's an old dog and he just sits on the seat. But I've got a little carrying case for Margo the kitty cat. I've got food for them, you know, set aside food, medication for the animals, for yourself. Have a friend. I actually did have a friend that I called. Unfortunately, her mailbox was full and her home line didn't answer. That was my emergency plan. So have more than one friend, because that emergency plan, you know, unfortunately, she didn't know when my emergency was going to be, so she could welcome me with open arms with my animals and my son and stuff like that. So set it up beforehand. We'll do that. Pick somebody out of state that you can get in contact with. That's one of the first things I did this morning when I got down here and found this hotspot down by where the highway patrol is I called Randy, as we do what we do on Saturday mornings. But that's the first person I've called. After the show is over, I'm going to let my daughter in New Mexico know everything is fine. I'm going to contact my son. Hopefully he'll be in a hot spot where he can pick up the telephone text or message. We can't even text here at this point, except at this spot.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people are beginning to gather around the base of the mountain here because they found out they can't get back in if they go out. We ain't going yet. Okay. So
hunkering down.
Find out what's going on. So I couldn't even find out that we are on mandatory alert until I got down here. Because
they
telephones,
are not going
of course,
door
aren't
to door.
Working. Pardon?
For a mandatory alert. They don't go door to door for a mandatory alert.
Well, they don't have the man and woman power to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're leading people out of the canyon. I've never seen a 5-lane evacuation before of Malibu. Never. And I've lived in this area over 40 years. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before. It's 5 lanes on a 6-lane highway, and they're coming at you.
That is wild. I've seen some footage of this. In your area, it's like 35,000 acres that are on fire, and 0% is contained. There's another area that's a separate fire from the sounds of it. It's 70,000 acres, and I was reading yesterday, 5% contained. So these are some pretty big fires.
Not only are there pretty big fires, well, listen, personally, because we've had 7 years of drought and I'm almost positive that was from the heart machines, I'm going to say man-caused, okay? Over time, California has been drained dry, literally, by the government, by all the opportunists, by all the people that want to run illegals over the border through California. We have been drained dry. And this is a perfect example of it. And you don't normally hear me this upset on the radio, but I'm in touch with so much poor behavior, it's breathtaking on the part of the government. When I take a look at who serves us, the fire departments and the police, I could just run up and kiss these guys. I haven't seen many women, so I haven't been kissing women lately. But I'll tell you, these guys are out here putting their butts on the line and doing the hard work. When it comes to our government,
you know what? Florida's
now right
behind you.
Did I say it all right there in that pause, Randy?
You did. I mean, Florida's right behind it with all these, you know, they're literally lining up enterprise trucks that are loaded with what they're calling provisional ballots. I don't even know what that is, but they're lining up trying to sway it, and apparently all the votes on those enterprise trucks are for Democrats. There's really nothing in there for Republicans. So, I mean, I'm hoping a lot of people go to prison over this, what's going on. So we're kind of right behind you.
I heard a good thing, actually, because I thought, why in the heck did they stop this darn election? We knew they were going to be cheating like badgers. We knew they were bringing up dead bodies. We knew they were listening to all this stuff. Why didn't they stop it, right? And somebody finally said to me, because we were watching, taking notes, and what do they call it? Verifying what they were doing.
Yeah, they had to let them do it. And I'll tell you what, we have an absolutely brilliant president behind the scenes, because he was ready with a prosecutor that had just prosecuted his ninth case. And Donald Trump put him in charge of now finding all this corruption in the state of Florida. And, you know, they got war rooms that are sitting there thinking 100, 200 steps ahead. Okay, well, if they do this, then we do this. If they do this, then we do this. And he is the first administration in the history of the federal government. This is why I love him. This is why I called you last night. Because he is apparently signing an executive order to open up some kind of a database with the federal government that is going to show who the real legals are, who could have voted, who couldn't vote, and they're going to cross-check it. And all administrations prior to Donald Trump have denied access to that, but President Trump is allowing the access to let the floodgates of the corruption and the criminals be exposed.
Oh,
so
I love it.
And I called you. I do, too. And I called you last night to catch up on everything, and I got your voicemail, and I always worry when I don't, you know, touch base with you at least by a Friday.
Yeah.
But then I heard your voicemail, and it said, congratulations, you have just reached my voicemail, and I still felt like a lottery winner. I was still so happy. It was like it cracked me up that I heard your voice. Congratulations. Nobody gets a congratulations when they get a voicemail, but on yours, and I sent you a message. I'm so feeling your voicemail. I love it. It's so great.
Oh, I did. Actually, the message came in when I came down the mountain.
It did.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, I can't receive and you can't send when everything is dead.
Right.
Okay, this place is getting backed up now, boy. I'll tell you.
One of the top stories that I read is like this end of times kind of image, and it says Malibu apocalypse. And then it says stars flee and winds whip flame. So infernos choking California, piling on the grief. You know, there's people that aren't getting the word. I actually have a son in California, and I called him, and he is not near it. He's even further north. So, you know, I worry about
son?
The guys out there.
What's his name?
My son, Nicholas. Nicholas, he's 27.
See, I like you to name your sons. And then they become even more of a presence to me. I've now seen pictures of them, but I haven't identified which is which yet. Is Nicholas the tallest, shortest, or the middlest, or where is he?
Actually, I think Benjamin, my youngest, is the tallest of them all. And Nick is probably close to 6 foot, I would guess. He's pretty close to 6 foot. And he's just, he's the rock climber and the arborist, so there isn't a shred of fat on that boy's body, and he is just, like, in crazy amazing shape. And he finally met a girl. I think he loves her. We'll see where that's going to go. And, you know, he's a great, great kid.
From the depths of disaster comes the bloom of love.
Yes, exactly. So it's amazing. So, On your electricity, since they cut, I thought you had solar. Don't you have solar? How'd that get cut?
You know, I'm going to try to control my voice as I answer this question to you. I believe it's okay to say jackass on radio, and I don't normally call people jackasses, but I'm going to do that this morning. I actually...
It is? We got the okay
on that. I told the solar company... Jack, ass. How about that? Is that too much?
So what's the story?
The solar company, which I asked, I said when they put solar on, I want batteries on this. What is the charge for this with batteries on this? Because I didn't want to go through, it's nighttime and there's no solar going, or there's an emergency and we don't have solar. So, guess what? I have no batteries, and they claim they didn't hear me. Now they want $17,000 more to put batteries in, which wouldn't have cost that much in the first place. if they had done it. And I don't have $17,000 to pay them. And I'm totally annoyed because every time Edison does what Edison does or doesn't do, Edison is, where do I go with this? When I now get a $5.95 a month electric bill, okay? When I sell electricity to the electric company, I still get a $5.95 or 25-cent bill. Do you know why?
No.
I get that. You were a little slow on that, so I started to answer anyway. Because they're having me pay my share of San Onofre, which I never wanted in the first place, the nuclear plant. So every month, every Edison person is being charged for San Onofre, which is probably going to turn into a radiation leak at any moment because the plant is old and breaking it down. It'll probably be part of poisoning the west coast of California. But I get to pay $5.95 to the company for this thing I never, ever, 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 never, ever wanted. And most people don't know they're paying these bills for these jack bunnies. I'm sorry, bunnies. I didn't mean to insult you. For these poops that just go do exactly what they want to do for themselves and their stockholders, and then they stick us for the bill.
Wow.
So I'm
okay.
Completely independent from Edison if they've given me what I asked for. But Edison can't stand it, and neither can, I guess, the solar companies.
Wow, so you're out of luck with power, but had you had $17,000 in batteries, you'd be up. You'd still have that.
Yep. Yep.
That's a good tip for anybody getting solar.
Oh, the police cars are just whipping by here. What? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
No, I'm saying that's a really good tip for people, a survival tip to not connect in, but to only be on battery.
And to check, because I don't know if all the companies are the same. I don't know if they all pull the same baloney or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How they got me into solar in the first place was, A, I wanted it. I thought it was a good idea. But, B, one of the things they did, one of the solar companies came over and pointed to my electric bill and showed me where all this money was going that I had nothing to do with. And that made me just decide I wanted nothing more to do with Edison. And I'm sure Edison isn't any worse than most of what else is going on. It's just that they're taking advantage of us left, right, and up, down the middle. And for some reason in California, when we voted, we did not repeal the gasoline tax. And the gasoline tax here doesn't go for what you would think gasoline taxes would go for. It goes to cover up another one of their little things. But I do think we managed to get through the initiative on clean water. That's good. Stuff like that. But I used to be proud to be a Californian. Now I'm like embarrassed. Because I believe that all of us are responsible for the state that we live in. And when I say state, I'm not just talking about geographic location. I'm talking about the state of emotion that we spend our time in. And I don't know what's going to happen with this because I don't want to be in California anymore, at least not this part of it.
So what happens if, you know, the fires head your direction and they take down, I mean, everybody's in
if my house
I mean,
is
imagine
uninsured,
that there is.
Okay? My house is uninsured. What would happen if whatever would be left is what would be left?
Oh, boy. I bet the bank, though, probably has it insured.
Well,
but
what good is that going to do me?
Yeah, won't do you any good. Won't do you any good.
And I was supposed to be turning in my appeal this week on the house, except I have no computer, no place to work from. And fortunately, you know, I'm a member of a team, and the team will take care of me. But this is just unbelievable. What's being thrown at us in California here between the invasions over the border. You know, I'm really surprised at how people got upset with President Trump for getting upset with that CNN reporter who just would not shut up. Did you see that footage?
Oh, yeah, I did.
And
I love Sarah Sanders, so.
Yeah. Well, they don't show what the guy did to Sarah Huckabee.
Right.
They don't show.
Well,
any
they
of
have
that.
Shown some of it. Yeah. No, oh, he's
I
been a monster.
Seen it. What did he do?
Well, nothing in that particular one. But there is an image going around. I don't know if it's a fake image or if it's real, but it shows her sitting back in the crowd that she was there as Donald Trump actually was standing up for her, saying it's atrocious, how that guy in particular treats Sarah Huckabee or Sarah Sanders. So
I thought her
but
name
yeah,
was Huckabee.
I saw what he did.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Well, yes. Yeah, because she's married now. So has been for a while. Mm-hmm. So the intern, that was interesting. You know what I love? Donald Trump standing up. You know what else I love? Them taking away his credentials. But I would like to see them take away more of the, I think they've got to put back in, what was the law that they took out where they could basically tell any of the lies? They lifted the lie on, or the law on propaganda, saying that the press could put out basically whatever they wanted. There's no fact-checking. There's no having to be truthful. I would like to see him reenact that and then watch that room go silent with all their BS.
Do you think they'd still go silent, or do you think they're already trained dogs and they can't shut up?
Well, I mean, if they put out false or fake news, he's definitely made a campaign to reenact that law that was once on the books. He's definitely made the case for it.
I saw the exchange, okay? And if I was speaking to the President of the United States and he told me to stop talking five times, I'd bloody well stop talking.
Right.
And yet everybody's going, not everybody, but I've seen sufficient evidence of people going around going, how rude the President was. I couldn't believe the President was so rude. Well, my God.
Crazy.
I don't know how he does it. I just don't know how he does it. I don't know how any of them do it.
He does a very good job of, holding it together. I mean, when he stepped away finally from the podium for a moment, I would have liked to have seen who he was looking at to the side, because clearly that was a sign of, get in here and do something. But, finally giving up the mic to the girl, and, they should have had him hauled.
Yeah, did you see the way he laid hands on that girl, that guy?
Yeah.
Actually, she wasn't a girl. I bet she was a woman. Did you see the way he laid hands on that woman?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is not okay.
No, it's not.
Way out of line.
And then completely.
For people to be upset with President Trump for reacting to that, I don't think that's... I think it shows how sad things are in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No balance. But I'm still, at the end of the day, I'm so proud of President Trump. So I'm probably his biggest fan, because I just really don't see...
I'm sure there are a few people that would argue with you about that. Those little kids walking around with their T-shirts and their information, swear to God.
Yeah.
Their little hats and their little banners. I think they win over you, Randy. They got the cuteness factor. Well, you're pretty cute. But they've got the short cuteness factor going, okay? I'm 9 years old, and President Trump is like the best person on the planet. In the whole, in the eyes of children we shall be beholden. This place is turning into a bit of a zoo over here now. We've got people turning around.
Well, I was reading that people are, there's llamas down on the beach.
Oh, those beautiful animals. You were talking about horses on the sand. I imagine that is a spectacular picture. I used to ride horses on the beach, and there's something about that,
That's always been a dream. I have still never done that, and I live in Florida.
You've never done that? Oh, Randy.
I've never done it, and I want to.
We're
going to
make sure that you ride horses on the beach. When you ride them out into the ocean, it is so incredibly cool.
I can't imagine something more happy, peaceful, romantic, if you're in that situation. I can't imagine. anything.
And if you're not in a romantic situation, it's glorious, okay? It's just glorious.
Yes, I can see it.
It's being in the presence of the moment at the full height of it, with the water and the waves and the ocean and the power of the horse and the thrill of a unique experience and the beauty of the surroundings and, you know, just all the frequency. And here comes a guy down the street looking like somebody hit him with a baseball bat. He looks a little stupid. Yeah, I think maybe he either got hit with a baseball bat or he just woke up. I'm not sure which. Looks a little bit like people first thing in the morning. And he's got...
How's he breathing? How's the actual air that you're breathing?
The actual air that I'm breathing, if I turned around and looked backwards, I'd probably start coughing. But since I'm not looking at it, the actual air in front of me would be towards the beach. And that's
okay. That's
pretty good. What's happening is it's coming down Malibu, and then it's coming through the canyons over here, and then the freeway. So I'm actually got the freeway behind me, and that's where a lot of the smoke is coming down the canyon and things of that nature. I don't know how many houses have been lost. I'm disturbed that it's at zero containment. That's not too reassuring here, but mostly the action is in, I'm just looking at this, Range Rover just pulled up. Yeah, people have got their little kits. It's really, being in the country is a good thing when you participate, and I do participate. You know, I participate in Topanga drills. Like, we've already done fire drills. I'm district number seven. Okay. Districts from 1 to 6 actually migrated to the valley yesterday. District 7 through 9 were told to go to Pacific Coast Highway. We've got location zones. We've got different places that we meet. We've got certified emergency trainers to help people. All kinds of which I happen to be one of now, but what was kind of embarrassing was that I hadn't got my kit together. Last weekend was the last weekend of the course, and of course I started doing stuff, but my kit was not ready. In fact, I'm going to go home, put the kit together. I'm going to make some phone calls because my family doesn't know what's going on. One of the things that they suggested is that when you get in a situation like this, and if I'd realized that there was going to be no power, I'm going to say permanently, it's permanent for the last 24 to 48 hours, what you want to do is make sure that somebody out of the area, when you're in a disaster, has your telephone number and what's going on, so you can keep in touch with them, and then they can be your touch base. They can spread things. And then in my case, my emergency telephone number that I was going to camp out with, I need to have a backup because I wasn't able to get a hold of that person, and I wasn't about to show up with a dog and a cat and a son and a bunch of bags because I didn't even know she was there, you know?
My gosh, between the homeless population and the population that's now becoming homeless, Lord of mercy.
Could you hear that?
I heard a little squelch.
Now they've got bullhorns and stuff like that. Now they're turning people back.
You're probably not going to be sitting there for too long, or being able to get back up.
I said I'm not leaving. The thing about me is that I have a certain authority when I'm in a certain mood. I've got that authority today, and that authority is like I know what's going on here. I do. I do know what's going on here. I've lived here since 1992, and I know what's going in here on the canyon. I deeply respect the firefighters and the highway patrol and the police. I've been fortunate with that because while other people have had terrible experiences, I have never had terrible experiences with them. I've had things that were unfortunate, that were a misunderstanding, but I've always been treated well and politely. So, I don't argue with people. If they say I'm arguing with them, I say, I'm sorry if I'm coming across that way. I'm just trying to get information. I'm not arguing with you. And that usually relaxes them. Okay. I was actually talking to a policeman about all of this and about how they handle all of this because they see such horrible stuff, you know? And he said, what they do is they actually, they do gallows humor. So he said, you may overhear us sometime laughing about something that just seems ugly to you. He said, but it's the only way we can handle the amount of ugliness we have to deal with.
I'm sure.
To make it kind of, I was thinking of, what was the name of our Florida State Trooper? I almost got his name. And when he was telling us about how they would go out and get drunk afterwards, remember?
Oh, yeah. Was that Wolfgang Halbig? Was it Wolfgang?
Yeah, that was it. It was Wolfgang Halbig. Halbig was Florida State Trooper for quite a while, a number of years, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I don't know, a long time. And when Randy and I had him on the show, he was talking about the same thing I'm addressing, but he wasn't talking about using gallows humor. He was talking about going and getting drunk with his friends because it was just so awful. Well, it turns out that gallows humor is another way of dealing with things. He says, you know, when you go to an accident and you pick up body parts, you know, like you pick up a head from the bushes. That wasn't Wolfgang talking about that. That was somebody else telling me about what they have to do, another guy that had been with the police department for 40 years. And then you find a hand somewhere.
Right.
They put up with a lot of stuff too.
I have a friend of mine. He's a ER doctor, and he was actually on his way in to a hospital that was about 40 minutes rural, or you know, 40 minutes outside of town for him. And he literally a young man was on one of those crotch rocket motorcycles, and somebody hit him. And, you know, he went flying, helmet went flying, other parts, things went flying. And a woman is just, like, absolutely screaming because the doctor gets out of his car and he goes over and he looks at the young man who is definitely deceased on the side of the road. And this woman is driving by and she's like, do something, do something. She's screaming at him, help him, help him. And he said, no, he's dead. And she said, how do you know? And he said, well, because he's just, they get colder. And his answer literally was because his brain is down the road. The brain was knocked out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it was horrific. But he was cold to it. It was not unfeeling, but just, you know, matter of fact, I guess is a better way to say it. And, you know, one day I was staying at their house, and one day he had come home. They were getting ready to take this really long road trip, and he had come home, and over dinner, he tells this story about how there was another accident that day that he literally had witnessed it, and it was another young man in his early 20s who had been hit by a car on his motorcycle, and you know, just he said, yeah, he was dead. And the ambulance crew was like, do you want to pronounce him? And he said, no, because then I would have to be here for all the paperwork and stuff. And he didn't want to do that. He needed to get somewhere. So he let them go ahead and take him, and then they always say, you know, pronounce dead on arrival or whatever.
Yeah, that's
right. So they do
that's
get
funny what you said about the paperwork.
Right?
And it was just like for them.
Yeah. And he didn't want to be a part of that paperwork. But again, it was a crotch rocket situation and a young man. I hate that because a lot of our youth is just going with, you know. But anyway, yes, all the police and fire department, they all have to deal with these things. Remember Wayne? I dated Wayne, and he saw unbelievable things and was exposed to so much. You know, and he would talk about it. He didn't get any type of PTSD from it. He was like the calmest guy I think I've ever known. Very, you know, just it was a thrill for him to go to work. He purposely chose to be at the busiest fire station in Little Rock, Arkansas, which most people could only handle a year, and I think he did it for 7 in that particular station. So some
bless
live
their
for that
souls.
Thrill. Yes, yeah.
Just bless their
you know,
souls.
They see
whatever it is.
Unbelievable thing.
You know, I'm drawn to an Olympic torch, okay? So maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm more comfortable with fire. I'm a fire sign. Leo is a fire sign. And there's been fire in my life all my life. I was in the Las Flores fire back in 1992. And I saw the land become blackened. I went back the next day. We were able to go the next day. It burned through. and I felt like I was walking on the surface of the planet moon or something, like that. It was just desolation. It was, there wasn't a green thing there as I walked through the lands. And as you say, I love my news media cards because I can get into places that other people can't get into, and I can actually see what's happening and what's going on. And now I know that there's a new hot spot down the mountain, and I know where it is. I won't have to go so far next time. So in every catastrophe, you know, something new comes. And now I see the importance of having, you know, like a backup emergency person. And you make your plan, but do you have contingencies for your plan? You know, there's just all kinds of stuff. I was concerned about looting, one of the things that I was. But there aren't that many cars in the canyon, and I really can't imagine looters being able to get in and loot because they would be seen. And the fire trucks are going up and down the street, and the police are the highway patrol is around supervising stuff. So I feel safe in that respect. I don't feel as though I have to take everything valuable out of the house because I can't get it all in the car anyway.
You know? Right. What a feeling that is to all of a sudden, in a moment's notice, and I've been through it with hurricanes and, you know, we lost a home to a tornado years ago in May of 1998. We couldn't, at that point, it was just saving our life. And then, you know, the hurricane that came through a year ago, you know, you sit there and go, okay, if the condo is lost, what do we take? What can we not live without if we had to start all over again? And so you load the car up with that. So, you know, those decisions, it's not fun. And then animals, you can't leave them behind.
I know. So it was really interesting. I remember one of the cars that went by me made an impression. It had a really cool wooden birdcage in it. And I went, okay, there go the birds, you know. And then another car packed with dogs, all this kind of stuff. I can't imagine where everybody's, oh, there's a little squirrel over here having a good time, and the birds are still happy. So I don't know how all this is going to work out. I know some people are living through hell right now, and we can take a moment and remember that flame purifies and flame cleanses. And if anybody's soul passes in this particular arena, it's only a body that has passed. The soul continues, and may you be purified. I understand two people. Were you saying two people had died already? May your soul, may your souls receive the purity, and may your entrance into your next life be a happy and prosperous one. I have this belief, Randy, that the way I go is the way I'm going to come in into the next life. And I'm one of those people that actually said I would come back again if it was needed. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I come from a family that's of service, and I believe you are too. I don't know how it works out like that, but you just kind of know it. It's like what you're about, what your children are about. A lot of people would call these church families, you know. My first husband, he goes to church every single solitary Sunday, and he's one of the deacons. And what he tells people about community and what they practice in their community, they just went through a big fire in Ojai, okay, and they just evacuated about a month or so ago. So if you hear people saying California's on fire, it is. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the fact that I hope the fires burn up all the trash here that's been going on for a long time in California. I'm sorry, Paul isn't here. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Where's that at?
Yep.
Well, that's what's though. But, yeah.
Yeah, that is what's on fire. Yesterday, the thing that really struck me, because up here, as I say, I don't really know what's going on until I go out. Oh, here comes the jogger. I don't really know what's going on until I get out. But coming home yesterday and watching those five lanes of evacuees coming, thank God it was only five lanes. I don't know where I would have gone if it had been six lanes. It made an impression on me. Like, I can't explain to you. It was just the enormity of it. The saltiness of the traffic evacuating from Malibu, which is a mountainous area, you know? And then you realize how many people are actually in those mountains. And now I'm wondering about my dear friend Lita, who's, I heard last night the fire was at Trancas. Well, that's right where she is.
Oh, she's probably
so
been evacuated as well.
I don't know what's happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's part of the hard part is you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. No, but there's, I'm sure they've been evacuated and it's going to be a little, you know, I don't know. When these fires happen, how long does it usually take for them to go down to nothing?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's a how long, because those fires, gosh, how long did the Santa Barbara fire burn? Do you remember? Do you, Mike, by any chance, remember how long the Santa Barbara fire burned? Yeah, I think that was the longest I can remember.
It was a couple weeks.
Yeah. This isn't like it's going to be gone tomorrow.
So you have to find a place to stay if you're evacuated. What is it? Like homeless shelters, somebody's house?
I don't know, because this is the first time I've had a phone. I've been able to use my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've been without phone for, you know, since 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah,
this is. I believe that this show could be called "Que Sera, Sera." What will be, I don't know what's going to be. I perceive that there's good in the future. I perceive that things are being revealed. I perceive that things are changing and that we've got some amazing leaders. I'm disgusted at the Democrats, just disgusted at their behavior. And I actually gave $1,500 to a Barack Obama. Can you stand it? To get him elected?
Oh.
Do you have any idea? And the Democratic Party just thinks I'm wonderful because I gave them. I never gave anybody $1,500 to be elected except Barack Obama, because I thought a black president that would lead the land that's so presidential. What a disappointment. What an incredible disappointment at that. And then when I found out about who he was and where he came from, and then he wasn't even an American citizen, and my friends and I knew this like 5 or 6 years before they were ever even talking about the possibility of it. As he moved into his second term of office, oh my God! How did somebody get a second term as a president that wasn't even born in the United States? How did he get a first term?
Mm-hmm.
When that kind of stuff points to corruption and disruption so deep that it seems almost like it would be a fatal wound. You know, it's just so corrupt, it's so evil, it's so inconceivable. If you take all of these things, I mean, it's like being in a swirl of flushing septic down the toilet continuously or something like that. It's so confronted, so disgusting, and so surrounding. And then when you're in Topanga and you can hear a bird sing, all of a sudden that all disappears. You just listen to the bird. You watch the squirrel and you're in the moment, and all of a sudden that other stuff is something else. And that call that's coming in, that's my poor roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call him after the show. Cesar Antonio is not at home. He doesn't know what to do or what to do. I will call him in about 10 minutes here and let him know what's going on. Bless his heart.
Yep, poor thing. Where was he? When did he leave? Why did he leave?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since yesterday morning, but he's on a roll, let me tell you. Cesar Antonio Valenzuela kicks butt, takes names, and is the best construction foreman I have ever seen in my entire life. He has self-confidence that is breathtaking. He went from being in charge of like 19 people when he moved in to being in charge of almost 195 people within a couple of months. And now he's changed jobs, and he's gotten himself a raise. I mean, the guy is just incredibly cool and incredibly motivated. So I got myself
There's a hot air boy,
let me tell you. I've always had great roommates, Randy. I've always, except one, I got an attorney for a roommate. I can't remember her name. I think I blocked it. Because every time I wanted to do something or I wanted her to do something, she was going to sue me.
Oh, my gosh.
She wanted me to reduce the rent.
You have a mental disorder?
I said, I'm not reducing the rent. She said, if you don't reduce the rent, I'll sue you. You're doing too much. I said, fine. So just let me know when you're moving. You know? And then she found a place to live. And then she said, I'm moving. I said, great. So that'll be perfect. And then she comes back the next day and she goes, well, they've had a flood there and they're going to need some work. I need to stay another month. And I said, fine. Okay, but you need to be out by the end of the month. And then she stiffed me on the last month's rent. It was just a sweetheart. Well, I know some good lawyers, so I don't want to badmouth all lawyers here, but I want to say that she was by far the worst possible person to have let in, and she was just totally charming. Totally charming. When she had her charm on, you would have traveled the world with her. Otherwise, when she wasn't getting her way, she knew how to throw a good temper tantrum. She probably learned how to do the Southern-style temper tantrum, you know? The Southern women get to throw stuff around more and be more interesting, I think. And they have their temper tantrums. Oh, I bet they do good temper tantrums. Well, I wasn't thinking of that, but I was actually kind of thinking of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, I think. Let's just say that they know how to speak. I don't know how to do Southern speak that well, but I've always been impressed by a good Southern put down. So, anyway, Antonio, I'll call you soon, sweetie. God bless you. I don't know where you spent the night, but I know you have a comfortable car, so. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know how this is going to work. I do not have a place for myself. I'm going to call Kathy, I think. She's the Palisade Sets, and see if I can take the animals over there and put them up.
Well, maybe Albuquerque is looking like a good place to move to. What do you think, Mike?
He's either doing something else or he's staggeringly quiet.
Because he doesn't think so, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Well, I did on the radio show, Voices of Truth, I need to follow up with John Young, but I had some really, really great interviews. Remember Eileen Daneman?
No, I don't.
Liberation. We had her on as a guest on our show here, Vaccine Liberation Army. So her and I did two or three tapings. I forget how many we did. And
so has he put you on yet? Because I actually called him and left a couple of messages to find out when you were on.
And I have to follow up. He hasn't sent me back the completed shows, so I'm not sure, you know, because they have the intro and the outro, which I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get a hold of him for a couple of days, so we'll have to. Bated breath. The world is changing. Tell them to
I'm
tell
telling
them
you.
About your new show.
Well, and we also just did an interview. I did two tapings, really incredible tapings, with Ben Fuchs of Brightside. Ben, and he's come out with a new skincare line, so we're giving everybody a discount if they listen to the show and then they want to buy any of his products. His are pretty amazing because they're all water-based as opposed to everything that's on the market that's oil-based. And so I used it, and I'm in love with his skincare products. So that's why I called him and said, let's do an interview on that. And then we also did an interview on CBD oil, which is fascinating because he's coming from the pharmacist side of it. And, you know, I don't know if you knew this, and it never came out on any of our interviews with him, but he was one of the original creators of Blistex. You know, his name's not
what?
But he was in Blistex, which is worldwide Blistex for the lips, I guess. Or, you know, you get a cold sore.
I don't know
sore,
what it is.
You know, you get a cold sore or a fever blister, you use this product called Blistex, and you put it on it, and I guess it just, you know, kind of reduces it and turns it around. And it's huge. It's massive. It's out on every pharmacy shelf nationwide and probably worldwide. I don't know. But Ben Fuchs was one of the formulators on that product. And
wow.
That came out in our interview. Right. So it was absolutely
that's very
fascinating.
Cool.
So he's been doing this, yeah, 20, 30 years. So,
you know, I was thinking
and then
Christopher
I did a
Robin
seven
when you were talking. Remember Christopher Robin?
Say that again.
Christopher mm-hmm. Robin? He's the one that was
yes.
using CBD for cancer cures. And by the way, very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not using cures
yes.
to don't cure cancer. For erasing cancer, okay? And
mm-hmm.
Christopher Robin has been doing a lot of work on that. And then your longevity line has now CBD oil, too. I think you should
yes.
mention that.
Yes. And actually, they can... I'd have to look up your link, but you actually... have a whole different website now, Val, for that. And at
oh.
some point today, I'll send you over your links. Yes, you're actually a CBD seller. You didn't know that. So I was going to tell you.
So I guess what we'd like
is,
to say in the final 2 minutes of this program is, what would you like to say to wrap up what you were just talking about?
Well, just that, you know, the CBD, we have receptors throughout our whole body. The CBD oil.
Not a course in
it's
CBD.
It's amazing. No, I just wanted to wrap
get
that particular topic.
Too. You got to watch
go
you.
Make
she
it,
loves these
go
products.
Go make somebody's day. I had an old boyfriend that sent me a message this morning that was the sweetest thing to wake up to. And I have known him since he was my high school boyfriend when I was a senior. And I woke up to a beautiful message from him, and it was just, you know, what a way to make my day. He said something like, "My God, could you get any prettier?" And then he said some other things about how smart and all these things. He's watching everything I'm doing. And then I got a phone call from somebody that said the same thing. Just go be kind to somebody today, because believe me, I'm going to pass it on. It was a wonderful thing.
I think that's the best you could do. And we're not going to read the list of everybody. Of everybody that's been on the show, but get your emergency kits together, get your contact information together. If you want to do solar, which I think is a really good idea to get off the grid, make sure you got batteries coming in with it. Even if you gulp at the price, it'll give you independence. Check with your local company, find out how they what they do with you, because I'm sure they're all pulling different little strings to make their lives work better. Find out what you can do. And in my case, I overproduced solar. I had to put on more solar than I needed so that I would never have to pay the electric company anything. So take care of that. Start looking around
yes.
and make sure that you know where your papers are and organize things. And what Randy said, shine on somebody today. Shine on somebody's life. Do something that makes a difference. Pat somebody on the shoulder. I remember sitting at the courthouse and this woman looked so dejected, and I just went across and I sat down next to her and I just patted her on the shoulder, and she told me I made her day.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.